Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When it comes to the Beatles, you might think there's nothing new under the sun. We must have heard and seen it all by now. Take the Magical Mystery Tour, for example. Familiar record, quirky, but much loved. Many people with this album in their collections at home. But there is a Magical Mystery Tour film that most Beatles fans have never seen, unless you happen to be watching on the night of its unfortunate television premiere. Joining us with the story of the Magical Mystery Tour film, which has now been reissued on DVD and Blu-ray for the first time, is Jonathan Clyde of Apple Corps, who oversaw the production of this new boxed set. Jonathan, welcome to Soundcheck.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
This was, at the start, a kind of a stub of the toe for the Beatles, it seems.
Well, it was. It had a sort of curious history. I mean, they decided to make a film themselves, direct it, write it. They went out and made it exactly the way they wanted it. And I don't think we're thinking about where it was going to show, how it was going to be distributed. They didn't think like that. They thought, you know, creatively.
So where was it shown? How was it distributed?
Well, it was shown on BBC television in black and white, but that's not surprising since television was black and white then. On Boxing Day evening, which is traditionally a family viewing night for very undemanding light entertainment, variety shows.
And just to be clear, Boxing Day is the day after Christmas.
Yes, it is the day after Christmas. Everyone's just had eaten far too much, and they've all had enough of each other, and they settle down to watch something very, very untaxing.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle of, in between a Petula Clark Christmas special and a Norman Wisdom film. For those who don't know Norman Wisdom, he was a comedian of acquired taste. Came Magical Mystery Tour, which baffled the sort of Middle England because it was a huge, you know, viewing figure. And I think particularly adults were expecting more of Help, you know, that style. And what they got was not that at all, with a very loose narrative and this sort of psychedelic trip to the seaside. People were baffled by it and rather annoyed about it, actually. There's a fog upon LA, and my friends have lost their way. We'll be over soon, they say.
Blue Jay Way is from the Magical Mystery Tour. The Beatles at this point, it's 1967, would you say they were at the height of their fame?
You could argue that it was their most productive, not only their most productive year, but in terms of success. And it was just, you know, they went from Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane, came out as singles, then the Pepper album, then the All You Need Is Love satellite worldwide broadcast. I mean, they were at the absolute peak of their notoriety, probably. Mm-hmm. And to go, so to suddenly come out with Mystery Tour was it took people back, and it got such a broad, not all negative reaction, but a negative reaction. I think it that's stymied any chance of it being broadcast in the U.S. And it sort of drifted into some sort of obscurity. If anything about the Beatles can be obscure, but of course the album. Everyone knows the album here. Then six tracks were on the A side, and then on the B side were all these wonderful singles. But I don't think the people in the US even knew there was a film.
We're speaking with Jonathan Clyde of Apple Corps, who now you were responsible for this film was not just obscure, it was really in no shape to be shown anyway. So you had to oversee the kind of reproduction almost.
I had to oversee the restoration of the main of the film itself, and worked with Giles Martin, George Martin's son at Abbey Road, and the Abbey Road engineers to completely revamp the soundtrack, not just the music to mix it, to remix, but also the actual, some of, you know, the audio and the dialogue was very, you know, needed a little help. And so we did that and then put the material together for the box set and all the extras, lots of unseen footage.
Is that part of what, you know, confounded the audience that Boxing Day evening in 1967, the fact that maybe the mix, the sound wasn't everything it could
no,
have been?
I don't think it was that. I just think it was not what they were expecting. Partly that they were expecting some sort of variety. They wanted something light. And partly because it just, I think it scared them. Because I think that, you know, adults particularly saw the Beatles as actually quite good role models for their children in this rather scary social revolutionary change that was going on in the 60s. But suddenly the Beatles had gone weird.
and seldom more weird than I Am the Walrus, which is a weird song apart from any kind of visual. But what was going on in the movie with this song?
Well, I think it's one of the best scenes in the movie because it's a, I mean, it's brilliantly edited. You have them in their suits and walrus heads and policemen. I mean, it's a wonderful expression of the lyric content of that song. And I think it's, personally, I love watching it.
I am he as you are, he as you are me, and we are all together. See how they run like pigs from a gun, see how they fly. I'm crying, sitting on a cornflake, waiting for the van to come. Corporation t-shirts, Tuesday man, you've been a naughty boy, you let your face grow long. I am the Eggman, they are the Eggmen. I am the Walrus, Mr. City Policeman, sitting pretty little policeman in a row. See how they fly like Lucy in the sky, see how they run.
The Beatles, I Am the Walrus, from the Magical Mystery Tour. So the song had been written first.
Yes, the song had been written first. And so, in fact, all the songs were written first. So when they were miming, obviously, to playback. Yeah.
So in a sense, this was like a precursor to music videos.
Very much so. I mean, you could say that Richard Lester almost invented the music video, if you look at the scenes in Hard Day's Night and Help. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, took that on board, and then they. I mean, I think that, you know, the motivation for the film was, we have these songs, now let's frame them.
We're talking about the film Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles, which has been resurrected and revived by my guest Jonathan Clyde of Apple Corps and his crew. And Magical Mystery Tour. Does the term mystery tour have a specific meaning in Britain that,
well,
it might not hear?
It does. And I gather from that in Liverpool it was traditional in the summer to go on a mystery tour for the day.
And which is what?
The mystery tour is you'd head off and not know the destination of where you were going. But actually everyone knew what the destination was. It was Blackpool, which was further up the coast. And on the way you'd load up crates of beer and you'd have a sing-song. And you'd get to the seaside and you'd fool around and you'd have a sort of cracking day out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the origins of the Mystery Tour.
So the Magical Mystery Tour, 1967 album by the Beatles, this film as well. Now, the film was briefly released around the mid-70s.
Well, it had prints of the film, I think, were made available by Apple. And I think it was shown in sort of midnight screenings and film festivals and college, the college circuit. So a handful of people saw it. Martin Scorsese saw it. And we interviewed him for this documentary that's going to be on. And he loved Mystery Tour. He was riveted by it. And even said that part, some of the way it was shot influenced the way he thought about shooting scenes later in his life.
So why has it taken so long to bring it back to the
public? Well, Magical Mystery Tour has been on the sort of list of to-do list at Apple for some time. But the list changes all the time by priority. Things come up. And so there's not a sense we've been sitting on it for any reason. It's just now seems to be the time. And generally the reaction to Pete, because it has been seen in England now, generally seems to be, well, it's not as bad as it was ever made out to be. Mm. And 45 years on, it's absolutely fascinating.
Now, we talked a little bit about I Am the Walrus. That scene apart, I mean, for you, what's one of the highlights from the Magical Mystery Tour?
Well, I think the musical numbers are the highlight. There's one scene I'm very fond of because it's so strange, which is Jessie's dream. As this woman on the coach has a dream. And it was all conceived by John and directed by John, this scene, where he's shoveling spaghetti onto her plate. I mean, she's having one of those nightmares where you're just being fed food, more food, and more food, and more food. And it's really strange. So, I mean, I like that scene. But the musical numbers are the high spot. And you've got everything from Eye on the Walrus to Your Mother Should Know, which is a full sort of Busby Berkeley type number at the end, which shows you the full spectrum of the Beatles.
Let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before.
Bit of Your Mother Should Know from the Beatles film Magical Mystery Tour. My guest is Jonathan Clyde of Apple Corps, who has overseen the restoration of the film. And there's also this documentary, which is being shown on PBS on December 14th here in the States.
December the 14th on 13, yes.
And check local listings if you're not in New York.
And this is actually more, it's a film about London in 1967.
What's it called?
It's called Magical Mystery Tour Revisited. But it's 67 seen through the prism of Mystery Tour. And it explains the context, because context is all when you're looking back at something, that actually it was a melting pot of creativity in London. There were, filmmakers, there were underground newspapers, artists, and they were all and musicians all spending time together, and they were and I think it created the sort of platform for Mystery Tour, and the Beatles were right in the thick of it, and they were influencing what was going on, and they were being influenced, and I think that's what you see in Mystery Tour, and it's you could say slightly shambolic way, but it, yes, that's what you see.
So this was swinging London at its swingingest.
Yes, and it only could have been made in 67. This was the tail end of 67. You could have never made a film like this in 68. Things got serious in 68. The Vietnam War escalated. There were riots in Paris. You know, things took over. Street Fighting Man, The Stones. Mm-hmm. You know, the atmosphere, it all changed. So it was the end of the Summer of Love, and this was the sort of postscript for it, really.
So what's our takeaway from, revisiting Magical Mystery Tour after all these years?
Well, I think it's been rehabilitated. I mean, it's had this curious reputation. I mean, I've spoken to people who said, it wasn't very good. And I said, when did you see it? And then you find out they actually never saw it. So it's you can make up your own minds. Everybody has. I mean, some people still don't think it's very good, but some people, a lot of people have said, well, it's not ever as bad as it was, and I actually loved it.
And as you say, a kind of musical and visual postscript,
yes,
at the end of an era.
Yes.
Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles. The album, of course, is familiar to many, but the film has now been restored. It's in a beautiful box set and 5.1 audio and looks and sounds great. And then, of course, there's the Magical Mystery Tour Revisited, the documentary coming to PBS stations on December 14th. Jonathan Clyde of Apple Corps overseeing the restoration, the production of the film. And, Jonathan, a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer but the fool.